Tired of eating the same homemade meals over and over again? Want to switch it up? Locally owned delivery.com safely brings the restaurants to you. Breakfast, lunch, or dinner, they'll bring it to you. Delivery.com delivers some of the finest restaurants in Metro Louisville. Miss going out to eat but still want to support your favorite restaurants? Delivery.com has got you covered. Use promo code ORDER NOW for $10 off your next order. Sit back, relax. Your meal's on its way. Delivery.com. We bring the restaurants to you.
Tired of jumping from job to job? How about a career in a recession-proof industry where you can make a difference and help create a healthier living and working environment? The pest management industry gives you the opportunity to work with more independence. OPC Pest Services will give you a chance to grow with advancement. Come be a part of our team at OPC Pest Services. Apply online at opcpest.com/careers. That's opcpest.com/careers.
Injured in a car accident? Visit suedistracteddriver.com.
Time now for The Take with Andy Sweeney.
What would you say to him to ease his pain about his Indiana Hoosiers? Not football, basketball, yeah. not Tom Allen, but Archie Miller.
Yeah.
Anything? Do you have anything to soothe his heart?
And James Strebel.
You know, maybe the next coach will be better.
On ESPN 680 and 105.7.
Here 437-9680. I'm gonna lose a soccer bet. Not happy about that. I'll win a few small ones, but not enough to outweigh the losses. 4 o'clock hour presented by RGB Home Theaters. As always, find them online today. RGBHomeTheaters.com. Red, green, blue. RGBHomeTheaters.com. Get that free estimate. Check out their most recent work. Personalized, top-notch service. They got you covered today. RGBHomeTheaters.com. So we appreciate them being part of the show. They were in my home, and they can be a part of making your entertainment area that much better. All the work they can do, from really a full room replacement to hanging a couple TVs, is right there. RGBHomeTheaters.com. All right, so Pat Forty joins us at @ByPat40. You can find him there on Twitter, Sports Illustrated, SI.com, the College Football Inquirer podcast. Pat, good afternoon, sir. How are you?
Hey, doing well, Andy. How about yourself?
Oh, I'm doing fantastic. News came out that Russell Wilson, only half the team went to his birthday party, Pat. Would you go to Russell Wilson's birthday party?
I would only go to boo him, you know.
Good enough.
I think he should be booed everywhere, whether it's his birthday, his driveway, you know, grocery
going
store,
to the,
or
going
whatever.
To Publix. Yeah, whatever he does. Yeah, I like that. There you go. Yeah. I saw that. I don't know. Like half the teammates showed up. I'd go for the mansion, but again, those guys make a lot of money. So it is what it is. Pat, can I do this? Can we push local college basketball aside for at least a few minutes? It's sad right now. Louisville's terrible. Kentucky's disappointing. Big game tonight for IU. I'm just fatigued from the last hour talking about that, if that's okay with you. So I guess I'll mention, I don't know how much you got to see because you were at the big game, Michigan and Ohio State. The Governor's Cup ends up like the Governor's Cup has ended up, especially when Stoops has faced Scott Satterfield. Louisville just kind of manhandled, and I thought Kentucky, if they were better on the offensive line, they would have won that game by much more. Any thoughts on the Governor's Cup and how Kentucky continues to win? And you know, Louisville, not a bad season, 7-5, a fine season, but seemingly Scott Satterfield, he can't win enough, but he also won't lose enough.
Yeah, real quick on the basketball front, just on the Louisville front.
Sure.
At what point do you just bench people and start a whole new starting five? Because it's not going to get worse, and maybe you get a message through to some players that are accustomed to their playing time. It's not guaranteed because you aren't doing anything. You're not producing. We're not winning. We're winless. So I would consider, like an entire starting five of guys off the bench.
I'm with you. What do we do with Kenny Payne, the coaching? I mean, we've talked about the coaching staff. It's the same conversation we've had the last 2 weeks, Pat. I don't know what to do in it. You know, we said, hey, rebuilding and losing a lot of games, it's easy to say. The Houston Astros did it for a couple years. You know, teams, it happens. But this Louisville fan base, what they've been through, Pat, I mean, they thought they were going to be okay. I mean, they thought they were at least going to be competitive in these games. I mean, Kentucky had a 9-16 team. They lost some games at the buzzer. I mean, this team's not, I mean, they play in the second half. They're not even in these games in the second half. They're 25-point games in the second half.
I'm pretty sure I looked up yesterday and it was 18-4 out of the gate. So, you know.
It's not even close.
You want to extinguish hope immediately. Playing at home in a Big Ten ACC challenge game, you're just inviting everybody to go to the Angels Envy Bar or whatever, you know? I mean, so anyhow, to your football point. Yeah, I think you actually just described the Scott Satterfield era perfectly.
Yeah.
He's done enough to remain employed and not enough to make anybody happy, really. You know, or really galvanize them like, oh, yeah, we're going in the right direction. We're going to get back to winning 9, 10, 11 games like we did with Charlie Strong and Bobby Petrino. I mean, there's just no reason to think that's going to happen. You do have a recruiting class coming in that's going to give you fresh hope. But at the same time, it's like, can't live with them, can't live without them. I mean, I think Josh Hurd seems to have handled this the way he should, which is you cannot fire a guy who just went 7-5 and had some good wins. But you don't, you know, whip out a contract extension right now and say, hey, we need to give you more money because you can't beat Kentucky.
Thank you.
And you're not getting to 8-9 wins. So hold your powder, maintain the status quo, see what happens when the new recruits come in, and make a fresh appraisal next year.
Pat, I'm having to battle people. They're like, no, you got to give Satterfield some kind of a raise. I'm like, why are college football and basketball fans obsessed with giving the coach more and more money? Why? Why would Louisville raise the buyout? Everybody does this, Pat. Everybody.
They've been conditioned to believe that's what you're supposed to do by seeing it done over and over and over again by bad businessmen who are ADs who get buffaloed by agents. You know, like, oh, this is just where you got to give them the years. You got it. Like, oh, it's just going to kill recruiting. Really? Well, Scott Satterfield's contract's through 2024. How is he going to sign such a great class here in December and February? So let's just dispense with that argument right now. That's, you know, it's fallacy. You don't have to give away money when there's no competition. Nobody's lining up saying, boy, let's go hire Scott Satterfield. So don't play that game.
No, I don't think you have to. And then losing the Governor's Cup, I mean, there's no doubt Kentucky fan or Louisville fans, it wiped away some of the good feeling. And this is, you know, this has been and was an ordinary Kentucky football team. You saw it on Saturday. There wasn't a lot of special out there. The game just kind of happened for 3 hours and 15 minutes. And they talked about after the game, did Kentucky. I mean, one thing I found interesting, and Pat Forty with us, is Pat, after the game, Mark Stoops and the players, there wasn't the celebration, and there very much was 7-5 just simply was not good enough. They've already fired two coaches, and one of them being Rich Scangarello was gone, you know, and this is going to be, what, four coordinators in 5 years for Mark Stoops. To me, Mark Stoops has to figure out that. He's got to figure out what he wants on offense. I don't think he and Scangarello ever got along that well, and Scangarello had every excuse, but ultimately in the end it was just a bad marriage.
Yeah, I think so. You know, it reminded me a little bit of like when Kirk Shiraka went to Penn State, you know, which may not mean much to the local listenership, but it was like immediately clear he was the wrong guy for that quarterback and that offense. And after 1 year, everybody's like, okay, that was a mistake. Let's move on. And so I think that's kind of Kentucky was in the same situation there. And, yeah, I mean, I think while beating Louisville again and owning that series – at least gets you out on a happy note. Nobody's happy about the season in general, and so you got to make changes.
I mean,
you just got a raise to $9 million a year. Let's figure some stuff out there, okay? So I think that it's incumbent on Mark Stoops to try again with that offense.
Yeah, they got to do something. It cannot be that. They got to find a quarterback. It's going to have to be in the transfer portal. They need to bring in someone who's a freshman as well to develop. It's been so many years since they've done that. So the Governor's Cup was there. We were all there. It was one of the last beautiful days. It was 60 degrees and sunny out for the Governor's Cup. It started to spit rain as I was getting close to Louisville. Pat Forty with us. Listening to the podcast and reading you, and obviously common sense as well, Pat, TCU and USC, those are the potential vulnerable teams, I think, if they were to lose this weekend. What do you make of the Friday and Saturday coming up? And then, I guess, what percentage chance would you give Ohio State to make the college football playoff still?
I mean, I give Ohio State like 40% chance.
Wow.
I mean, I know that, like, ESPN's got these stupid numbers. I mean, I don't understand them. Somebody would have to explain them to me. But, like, the most likely outcome to me is that TCU and USC win and remain in the playoff. Secondly, if TCU loses, I still think they could remain in the playoff ahead of Ohio State. So Ohio State needs at least one team to lose. And if it's not the right one, then they need two teams to lose. So, or a different team to lose, I guess you should say. So, I think it's still remote, not out of completely out of the question, but less likely than likely that they make it.
Who do you think wins this weekend? I know you put that up at SI. I mean, do you think it goes status quo this weekend? It's very easy for the committee, and we just know who the four teams are. And if it's USC, TCU, Michigan, and Georgia, like, I'm fine with that. That's cool. We're not talking SEC. Like, I'm fine with that, you know? We're not talking Alabama. Like, I'm fine with a year having a couple different teams. And TCU, let's go. I like it.
Yeah, I would be totally in favor of that. I mean, that's what I picked. I mean, I can't say I have absolute conviction, but I was at the first USC-Utah game. I walked away thinking USC was probably better and just gave it away or let it get away. And you put them on neutral field now, I think USC is going to win. And then TCU, I'm just like, I'm not betting against them, okay?
I'm with you. I like them.
Find ways to win. I like them a lot, too. They do a lot of things well. They have an elite quarterback, an elite running back, an elite wide receiver, and enough other good players too. So, and a damn good coach. So I like a chance, yes, of I think there's a decent chance that we get status quo and a pretty boring Sunday.
What stood out to you being at Ohio State, Michigan? Is now two in a row. Ryan Day gets questioned and everything else. What stuck out to you as Michigan went in there and just handled them. Just handled Ohio State back-to-back seasons.
Yeah, I mean, super impressed with Michigan. You know, they is a group that is all the cliches that we hear, they really are. You know, they are tough, together, committed, like undaunted when things don't go perfectly, and able to impose their will on other teams. And I look at Ohio State and I don't see a lot of those components. I thought that they kind of seemed like a soft, loose confederation of talent that when things went bad, they're like, okay, we're done here. We will, we'll see you later. I don't think they were terribly composed. I didn't think they were well coached. And, you know, I think Jim Harbaugh right now is, it's funny how things turn. Couldn't beat him for the life of himself. And now he owns them.
I mean, didn't he take a pay cut a couple years ago?
Oh, yeah, like in half because he couldn't beat Ohio State.
What does this do for Ryan Day? I mean, I want to ask you about the coaches. I know you guys talked about this on the podcast. You wrote about Hugh Freeze, Luke Fickell. You got Matt Rhule, who is, I guess, interesting. I mean, I don't know. We can talk about Jeff Brohm if you want as well. I mean, what does this do for Ryan Day? I mean, how are we supposed to approach Ryan Day now? He can beat everyone, but seemingly now he cannot beat Michigan.
Yeah, and that's a problem there. I mean, Ohio State has risen its expectations during the Urban Meyer era to, you know, go to the playoff and to certainly beat Michigan, if not absolutely humiliate Michigan. And now, two straight years, you're probably not going to the playoff, and you're being humiliated by Michigan. So it's a pretty dramatic turn of events. you know, at some point you get past this week and there'll be a little more common sense come into play most likely. And people say he's 45-5.
Yeah.
You know, that,
yeah, it's unbelievable.
Bad. We're not getting rid of a guy with a 45-5 record. So, you know, they'll probably have to reinvent the defensive wheel again a little bit on the things there. But, you know, like Ryan Day, to a degree, fell into a great situation.
He did.
He's done a very good job with it. He just hasn't done the ultimate job, which is to, you know, what Ohio State fans have come to expect. And so there's going to be some grumbling. I just don't think there's legitimate heat on him, really.
Pat Forty with us here on ESPN 680-1057 on this Wednesday. We can do these rapid fire here just because there's so many little nuggets, and I know you've talked to Rin about all of them. Hugh Freeze, I talked about this yesterday. He's a perfect example of winning versus morality. He's going to win some games. We know the marriage there is just perfect with Auburn. What did you make of that? It seemed to be destined, but Hugh Freeze is also a creep all at the same time.
Well, I mean, the biggest irony of the whole thing is they tried to trump up a off-field reason to get rid of Brian Harsin last year because his record was 6-7.
Yeah.
Freeze, they're like, oh, we're not worried about anything off the field. So,
nothing.
You know, it all depends what your winning percentage is. So, but this is a marriage made in SEC heaven. Just get us a winner. We don't care otherwise. And that's Hugh Freeze. So, you know, we'll see how it actually transpires, but I think it's a fitting hire for Auburn.
Fickell, the analysis is simple. I mean, right now it seems like that's a home run hire. He waited at Cincinnati, maxed out at Cincinnati, and got an absolute great job. And that is a great job at Wisconsin. Everyone has to be happy with that, I would imagine. Seems easy.
Yeah, unless you're a Cincinnati fan. But other than that, yes. I mean, I think it's a huge home run for them. I wasn't sure they had it in them. I wasn't sure they even wanted to try to have it in them because Wisconsin's been so stuck in its ways, so to speak. And their ways have been very good. But this is like, we want to go from very good to great. We want to try to beat Ohio State and Michigan and win the Big Ten and go to the playoff. That's what this tells me. So I think it's a phenomenal hire. Fickell was extremely loyal and really good at Cincinnati. And we'll see if that program can maintain. They've made some great, great hires over the last, like, 15 years. Can they make one more now?
Trent Dilfer officially got the UAB job, Pat.
Yeah, yeah, sure did.
Well, whose agent knows somebody? There's a relationship there, right? That's not just UAB hiring Trent Dilfer. Somebody knows somebody.
I would imagine so, you know. And it's also, I'm sure, like, Dilfer has marketed himself as, you know, the great quarterback whisperer, developer, or whatever.
Sure.
You know, he's the Elite 11 guy and all that. And so this is his, yeah, you got somebody to sell it, and we got somebody to buy it, more importantly. So they're going to take a spin with that. We'll see how that goes.
All right, last one, Matt Rhule. How do you think he'll do? How big of a turnaround? And I think you said on the podcast, you know, they had to circle back around to Nebraska a couple different times. Maybe ultimately they got Mark Stoops a few million dollars. He takes the job. I'm not as hot on him as others, but I mean, I'm sure that's seen as a huge upgrade. Matt Rhule taking over can build the program to something. What do you think?
Yeah, I think so. I think it's a good hire, and you know, I'm looking at it, all the people that I think turned them down. It's not a very small list, and I don't know where they were going to go if they didn't. I think that's why they kept coming back to them. It's like, oh, my gosh, what do we do if we don't get Matt Rhule? So kept coming back, sweetening the pot, more years, more money, et cetera. And I think it's as good as Nebraska could hope to do. Because Nebraska today is not Nebraska 1997, and I think he gives them a chance to be solid and competitive and win more than they lose, which is an upgrade over what they have been.
Yeah, I mean, there's absolutely no doubt about that. Well, appreciate it, Pat. Where are you going this weekend? You going anywhere?
Yeah, I'm going to Vegas for USC Utah.
Nice. There you go. Now, that's going to be a big one. You know, Lincoln Riley, and I mean, him going there, boy, that's why you pay him the money. I mean, that's why you go get Caleb Williams, and that's why you do what you do. And for USC, that could pay off on Friday night. Enjoy the time out there, West Coast. We'll catch up down the road. Thank you so much. Appreciate it, Pat.
All right, we'll see you, Andy.
All right, there we go. Pat 40 with us here on ESPN 680 1057 at SportsIllustratedSI.com, the College Football Inquirer podcast.
Weekend in Vegas for Pat 40.
Oh, that sounds fantastic.
Sounds pretty good. Nice and warm out there.
Remember you were going to go to Vegas, Jack? And then the Spirit. Or Frontier, whatever it was.
I think it was Spirit.
It was Spirit.
Yeah, you sound like a sad puppy.
He went to
dog.
Chicago instead and slept in the same bed as his dad.
Went to you went to a wrestling match, right?
MMA.
MMA. Sorry.
Good memory. It was like bootleg MMA.
That's what I thought it was. Like
it
wrestling.
Wasn't like Anderson Silva.
It was in a glorified high school gym.
Ugh.
On the south side.
All the things to do in Chicago, and that's what you did.
Well, I also went to a Cubs game and, went to bars.
I'd rather go to the MMA fight than the Cubs game. I've been to Cubs games.
Oh, shut up.
Yeah, well, I'm a Cubs fan.
You would not rather go to some high school gym to see MMA than a Cubs game. Be quiet.
That was a lie.
Stop.
I was just trying to poke a little fun at Jack. It's
stop
all.
It.
Yeah, but we knew you didn't mean it.
No, I didn't mean it.
Can I say one thing before we go to break?
Sure.
Well, of course I can.
Yeah.
I have run into this a few different times.
Mm-hmm.
I just wanted to back in the Pat 40 segment with this. By the way, to add to our show, about 5:20, Jack, we're going to call Perrin. Perrin, ask him what the hell's wrong with his basketball
team. Like that. I haven't talked to Perrin in a long time.
Me either, so we'll do that.
Good. Yeah.
I've run into this a few times, and this would be a plea. Listen, I don't care what you do, but this would be a plea to U of L fans. Okay?
Okay.
Every time I mention Scott Satterfield, has no correlation to Mark Stoops at all.
Zero.
I'm not comparing the two. I'm not comparing the programs.
No.
I'm not comparing their tenures. I'm not comparing them at all.
We haven't done that one bit.
They are completely independent of one another.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not saying that Scott Satterfield needs to – no one's saying – they're saying, hey, you lose the Kentucky game. They're not saying Scott Satterfield had the same record of Mark Stoops, so he needs to be fired. No one's saying that.
Nobody.
No one is comparing the two. So when I talk about your coach, who's like a game over 500, under 500 in the ACC, okay, cannot beat his rival, cannot be close to his rival, I don't need to hear, yeah, but – how long? Look how long it took Sweeney for Mark Stoops to get it rolling at Kentucky. Stop! If you're a Louisville fan and you have a friend or a family member who is using this rhetoric, pull them aside as a brother and sister in Christ. Pull them aside and whisper in their ear, James Strebel, to stop.
Stop it.
You all, I want to give them credit. I don't think our guys at ESPN Louisville are doing this at
They're
all.
They're not.
No, that I've heard.
Someone tried to do it with the NS on Saturday, and
then
he
I've
wasn't
heard
having it.
Is Mark Stoops has been nothing but mocked by you. And some of the mocking is absolutely deserved.
Yeah, some of it's warranted.
Absolutely warranted. But that's what you've done. And we didn't let you get away with it with Danny Manning.
No.
If Kentucky rehired as their OC Eddie Gran.
Oh, gosh.
And Kentucky fans tried to do this big spin that he's learned his lesson.
Right.
And he's going to grow the offense and he's got a quarterback in the portal and start to do all this. Me and Strebel gonna blast him.
Yeah,
I know what the
Eddie Gran in Cincinnati. That's what we're gonna get this time.
We know what the conversation's gonna be.
Yeah.
So the Louisville, I get a lot of that now. Well, Sweeney, it took Stoops, 6 years. Yeah, I'm like, they wanted to fire him.
They did.
KSR and others called for his job.
Yep.
People wanted to fire Mark Stoops for 3 years. And since when did Louisville football compare themselves to Kentucky? Stop!
Yeah.
I'm not saying this because I'm mad about it. I'm saying this because I'm seeing Louisville fans embarrass themselves and they need to stop.
I'm with you, man.
They need to stop. You look silly. You look stupid. That's what you look like. Don't compare yourself to a school that you have no respect in football.
No, none,
okay?
Zero.
And to a coach that you have no respect for.
Y'all think Mark Stoops is a dope. I mean, y'all for years thought Mark Stoops was a dope and a clown and could not coach football. You have your miles ahead billboard on the way back from Lexington. You want to bring and throw into everyone's face the modern rivalry record. Well, now Kentucky owns that too. They own the modern rivalry record. But you want to do all these things to try to bring, well, historically Kentucky might be better, but in the modern rivalry, we own your ass. Like, now you're saying you're throwing that all away.
For the mixtape right
you're
there.
Throwing that
like
all
that.
Away, and all you want to do now is, well, they ain't Stoops at the time. They ain't Stoops at the time. It's like, no, I wanted Mark Stoops fired until he turned it around and beat Lamar Jackson. That's the only thing that saved his butt is that he beat Lamar Jackson and embarrassed y'all's ass and sent y'all packing instead of going to the Orange Bowl. That's what saved Mark Stoops' job that season. And then he got better from there. Scott Sanderville hasn't done anything close to that yet. Nothing close.
Oh, and he hasn't had a magical moment.
He had a season on. That was just like Bobby Knight had a season on the brink. Remember that book, Season on the Brink? There was Mark Stoops' season on the brink, and he saved himself. And it took almost a miracle for that to happen. Don't play that game.
Don't play that
Y'all
game.
Y'all want to wait around? It sucks waiting
Don't
around.
Don't play that game.
Stop it. Just stop it.
Stop it.
I mean,
get your Bush Light over there.
It's ridiculous. They tried to
don't steal the segment.
Like I said,
from me.
I'm sorry. I'm just, they tried to do that with Ennis on Saturday, and he poo-pooed it as he should poo-poo it because you're exactly right. They think Mark Stoops is a buffoon, and now they want their coach to have Mark Stoops' time in their minds, which is silly.
437-9680 UPS Jobs text line. Jackie Boy, do you want to tell the people about Vitality? Jack has lost basically 90 pounds on this plan over the last, what's it been, Jack? 8 months? I don't know.
It's been since February 1st.
February 1st. So there you go. So Jack, tell the people how they can get a great deal and how to, tell the people how they can find out more about some weight loss.
Yeah, vitalityweightloss.com. Safe, effective weight loss tailored for your body. You get a personalized food list and supplements based off your needs, not someone else's. It's all based off of science. Body scan exposes your deficiencies and identifies supplements and foods that you need to help kickstart your metabolism, or in my case, actually tell my metabolism, hey, for the first time, we're actually trying to do something. You burn stubborn fat instead of sugar that you can't lose in a local gym. Again, I lost almost 90 pounds on the program over the course of two rounds, including 18 in the first week and 25% of my body weight. It was easy to stick to the diet. And here's the best part. I was never hungry while burning fat. I went from a person that was completely hopeless about my personal health to someone who has now lost, again, close to 90 pounds and actually knows how to eat right. And I've actually kept eating right to where I've been off it since September 1st, and I've actually lost a few more pounds without even having to be on the program. Now, if you need to lose a lot of weight, like myself, VitalityWeightLoss.com, that's the place to go. If you're just trying to lose 10 to 20 pounds, shave off some of that stubborn fat that you picked up over the Thanksgiving holiday, they can absolutely help you do that too. And remember, check out the Jack Grossman special, get your initial assessment, normally priced at $199 for just $27. Again, VitalityWeight.com. Click on the special weight loss offer on the front page and tell them that ESPN Louisville sent you.
We'll play some sound and a weird Wednesday coming up next here on The Take. It's a Wednesday on ESPN 680.
Looking for work, better pay, better work environment? We can help. Call Kelly Jobs today at 502-425-7131 to speak with a recruiter today. Score a better job with us. Call 502-425-7131 or visit kellyjobs.com. That's kellyjobs.com.
UPS is hiring Daysort warehouse workers in our Louisville, Kentucky hub. Our warehouses are team settings where everyone truly has each other's backs, and we work together to deliver what matters to customers and communities. We're paying $20 an hour and offer great benefits, including up to $25,000 in tuition assistance. Eligibility begins the day you're hired. Shift your future, shift your team, shift your life. Visit upsjobs.com to apply. That's upsjobs.com. Make the shift, make a difference.
Injured in a car accident? Visit SueDistractedDriver.com.
Time now for The Take with Andy Sweeney.
Jack, do you know who Janet Jackson is?
Yeah. Music singer. And she had the... wasn't she the one that had the Super Bowl incident?
Yes.
Of course.
Yes, he knew that. Who's... She has a famous brother. You know who her famous brother is?
And James Strebel.
He knows this. Jack knows this.
Oh, it's the Reverend, right? Jesse Jackson? Or is she Michael Jackson's?
I gotta leave. I'm leaving.
Oh, is she Michael Jackson's sister?
He said Jesse Jackson.
Yes. I was sitting between either Michael Jackson or Jesse Jackson. I wasn't sure which one it was.
Oh, God.
I just knew it was one of the two.
Oh my God.
So it is Michael Jackson.
On ESPN 680 and 105.7.
We're going to talk to Trevor Cravens. Tailspin Ale Fest coming up, year number 10.
Oh, yeah.
It's a perfect holiday gift.
Yep.
And you're going to save some cash money coming up this week. Three pre-sale ticket dates at an Evergreen Liquors. December 1st, the new Lou location. December 2nd in St. Matthews. December 3rd in Middletown. We'll talk more about that tomorrow, but go to their Facebook page or tailspinalefest.com and be a part of that. How about that?
That sounds great, man.
You ready for that?
Great stocking stuffer. Get them while they're hot, baby. Let's go.
Let's go.
Yeah.
Streep will be there.
I'll be there.
I'll
be back.
You'll be ready to go.
Last year was a good time. That was the year where I had the beer cheese pretzel.
Yes, a woman gave you that.
She gave me a
flirt job.
No,
look at you, little flirt.
No, there was no flirting.
Little flirt, flirt.
No,
little flirt.
Zero flirt. She walked up and she had a necklace of pretzels. And she put the necklace of pretzels around my neck and she said, "You can have this beer cheese." I said, "Thanks." And then she moved on and I moved on.
You believe that, Jack?
What do you think of that story, Jack? Cooper Hassan knocked it out of my
Cooper
hand.
Cooper Hassan?
I think it's Coop's fault. I'll
put it this way: we do have the sound from back in the day. Of
oh yeah, because I called the post game.
Yeah, you called the post game show. Ed and I were hosting. He goes, "I got beer cheese. My beer cheese just died. Damn it!"
If you can find that, I was going to go to some sound anyway. But yeah,
it was a fun day.
Give me a second.
I looked on the sound sheet, and there's an Issel sound. And this is Issel's wheelhouse.
Oh,
it's
good.
Also ancient. It's also BBN.
BBN Scrolls.
Adolph Rupp couldn't win a game with this Louisville roster.
Oh. That is the BBN Scrolls. He pulled them out again.
You know what? It's an update to the BBN Scrolls.
He pulled out the Scrolls.
We have beer cheese, and it's a good time here.
All right, you guys.
My beer cheese just died. Damn it.
We are having a good time. It was like the first warm day of the year.
You guys
actually wear shorts. It was wonderful.
Oh, you had those cargos on.
Oh, yeah.
You were looking good.
Yeah, I was happy. I had my flamingo shirt on.
Yes, you did.
It was great.
Everything was good for Strebel that day.
Yeah, I went home and watched.
Kentucky lost, didn't they?
No, they won.
Oh, no, they won that
they
game
won
and
that
lost
game.
The next
they
game.
Lost the next. No, no, they didn't because that was the final.
No, there's the final game of the year. That
yeah,
got
then,
you.
Then they won the first game in the SEC tournament.
Barely.
Lost the second
and then
game.
They lost the second game.
Tennessee.
But it didn't matter.
Yeah.
It didn't matter.
And they still got the two seed. Still thought there was a chance.
Texter says, "Get off the Brom talk." That had to be for 93.9.
Like we haven't mentioned that name.
You mentioned it one time
briefly with Pat Forty and then moved on immediately.
Texas says, "Did Rig hear Issel swipe him this morning?"
He swiped me?
I'm sure he did.
Oh, what did I do?
I don't know.
Talked about Issel. Well,
he thought you were a bum.
He thought
probably.
I was a bum. Was he listening to the postgame show?
Yes,
Adolph Rupp couldn't win a basketball game with this roster. Now, you can blame Kenny for that. But the way he coaches has nothing to do with them being 0-7. I mean, watch the games, people. These kids can't play basketball.
I thought they
were the greatest.
Yeah, well, the greatest players, greatest coach. Dan, I gotta disagree, but you know. That's what happens.
Adolph Rupp couldn't win a basketball game with this roster.
That's great. That is so good. That's the good stuff.
I dare you to play that sound, Diener. Play it in the morning.
Play it for blank.
Texas says I'm a Louisville fan. Stoops is a buffoon. There we go.
See, that's what we need.
That's the spirit. That's what we need.
Don't powder his bottom and say, we want the Stoops playing here at Louisville. Y'all want the Stoops playing.
It's the saddest, man. It's the saddest Louisville thing.
I want the Chris Mack playing for John Calipari. It might take him a little while to get back on track, but you got to give him some time. No. Win an effing basketball game worth a damn.
Can we get Issel swiping soccer too?
Yes!
Actually, I want to do that later on, Jack.
Issel, no. You and I are same in a lot of things.
Well,
no.
That's the reason I want to get to it later.
Hooker. Hooker.
That's clear, clear as a bell.
To be Hendon Hooker. Hooker.
Hendon Hooker. I was talking Heidi Fleiss.
Oh, man. Well, we'll do a weird Wednesday here in a second.
Yeah, just let me know.
I can't remember what I even wanted to do here. It doesn't matter.
No.
It really doesn't matter.
No, it's great, though.
Jack, we should have been the first show to try to have the new UofL president on. That would have been funny.
She was on TV. I saw her.
She was on TV.
I saw her on TV. A little while ago. He's on DRB. I don't know if Locke's...
WDRB.
Is Locke doing anything with Spectrum on her? Is he
doing an expose?
Is he doing an interview one-on-one with Locke McClain?
Is her name Schatzel? Is that it?
Kim Schatzel.
We love our guy, Ty Spalding. I was stunned by this decision. It's like, who cares?
It's like, Ty, it shouldn't matter. The president shouldn't matter that much to the athletic department. It shouldn't.
Well, I disagree with that. I've been through this like five times in the last 5 years. That, like, I'm done. I'm done with it.
And I'm not going to do my whole rant about it, but like this, it's like you shouldn't. Most college athletics fans don't give a darn about the president.
Right. Right, they don't.
They
no.
don't.
Yeah,
so Louisville
they don't.
Basketball, football fans, you shouldn't really
care. I don't even think about it when Kentucky gives wild contracts. I don't even think about
Eli Capoluto.
Don't even think about
neither
it.
Neither do I.
Not even part of the analysis.
Absolutely
Texas
not.
Texas says, I bleep and hate buttermilk. Texas says, Strieble didn't give any of his kids a shout-out last night. Why not?
What do you mean? Shout out.
Well, yeah, on the air. Didn't you do the show from home?
I did. Yeah. They let's see. We didn't start until about
9:15.
So yeah, they were in bed. Yeah.
How were they in bed with you doing a show?
I was in the other part of the house? Yeah, I'm in my wife and I's room.
Gotcha.
Yeah. So she was in the living room.
Okay.
She was watching one of those like Chicago Fire FBI.
Oh, Strieble. Don't tell me she watches.
She fell asleep.
Yeah.
I walked out.
Because she was watching network television.
Yeah. I walked down the couch and she was asleep. And, of course, you know, I was in there yelling and screaming. I was like, well, how did she do that? Actually, I wasn't too bad last night. Just in, like, a couple sections I was bad. I wasn't too bad.
Man, I don't know. Oh, read the text quickly before we get to Weird Wednesday.
Yeah.
Read the text real quick. The tweet from Rummage.
Oh, this took me aback last night.
Yeah,
I must have
missed this. Jack was in Lexganistan, so I don't know if he saw it. You were saddened, and I'll tell you something that I was saddened by.
Okay.
But you were saddened by this tweet from Steve Rummage.
It's at 9:09 p.m., so I'm sitting around waiting for our guys Doug Ormay and Mark Bug to finish up with Scotty D, so I could get on the air.
You were hoping Scotty D would zip it up a little bit. Scotty D, zip it up. The kids are going to remember it for the rest of their lives.
Yeah.
Zip it up.
I need to talk about Calipari not playing the good offense.
Yeah.
And playing four non-shooters together. That's beside the point. But anyway, I looked at my phone at 9:09 p.m.
Oh, no.
And I see Rummage tweet this.
Oh, no.
This is as bad as it gets. I'm sorry.
What's he apologizing for? Did he back Kenny Payne initially and still does, or what?
I don't know if he's just apologizing for the performance. If he's apologizing for saying this is as bad as it gets, like this is as bad as it gets, I'm sorry. It's as bad as it gets. Or it's like, I'm sorry for hyping this up so much.
I don't know.
Being let down. I mean, that could be taken a couple of ways. But there was an apology by Rummage.
There was an apology yesterday by Rummage.
Yes, and I was stunned
about how
by
bad
it.
UofL basketball was, is what you're trying to tell me.
Yes, yes.
And we got Blank and Maven battling.
Yes.
We got Diener in the middle of this.
Yes.
Ennis is angry at Jurich again. We got a lot going on
at
right
Jurich?
Now. I don't know what's going on.
Why is he mad at Jurich now?
There's wars all over the place
oh
right now.
Oh, my gosh.
In UofL land.
I think Tom was just, you know, in Florida just chilling in the sun. You know, a little gator over here, a little iguana over there. I thought he was just hanging out.
Texter says Schatzel's known to be a football and basketball hater.
How do we know this? How do we know this? We don't know anything about her. How do we know?
Does Rig have a room like Jerry Falwell? A room? Is
like,
his room like Falwell's? I would imagine no.
No.
Falwell has a mansion.
He had
Schatzel's in New Albany.
Yeah, he had a mansion, and there wasn't much about his room on the documentary that I remember.
Going mansion in New Albany is Big Easy.
Big Easy's house, yeah.
I love Big Easy. I was on he's like on Instagram, like, at the gate for American Airlines. Like,
oh, dude.
Yeah.
He had a Haymaker tweet the other day. He tweeted at Spectrum about internet outages. He's like, no need to DM me. Just a yes or a no would be nice. Is there an outage in Sellersburg? I was like, what are you doing, Easy?
How about that? He's in that good part of Sellersburg.
Yeah, he's in that good part.
How about that?
I was good, Easy.
I was good, big guy.
Yeah.
I had it the entire day. I was streaming and playing video games all day, you bum. Your family didn't have anything. While you're out reffing volleyball in New Mexico, I'm streaming 18 different things, making bets. You're ruling in and out at an NAIA game while your family can't watch
Disney Plus.
Disney. I was trying to think of a kid show, but I did. Is Mona.
Mona.
Is it Mona?
I don't think there's a Mona.
Like, there's a Mona.
I don't think there's a Mona show. Not that I know of. I don't think there's a Mona. Mona Lisa?
Jack, is there a Mona?
I don't think there's a Mona show.
There's a Mona.
I don't know.
Talk about the Dembona?
Of course, Jack goes to
right to college basketball.
Of course, he goes right
just
never change, Jack.
Bona.
Jack, I mean, listen, we like it, but you're gonna have to get a curveball.
Come on, man!
You are Aroldis Chapman at 19. You are throwing 100 in 10 miles per hour
all the time,
up and in when it comes to college basketball.
Right,
but you gotta have a slider.
Something,
you
gotta
have a little change up that can hit the outside of the plate at 89 miles per hour.
Right.
Do you understand?
Throw us for a loop.
Well, that's not you got to have a third pitch, then.
Yeah, you got to have more than two pitches.
I need the third pitch.
Is that a Mona? Is it Moana?
Moana. Oh, that's what you're talking about, Moana. There is a Moana. That's about the Hawaiian princess.
There is a Moana.
Yeah. There is a Moana. No, there's a Mona the vampire.
Who is Moana?
It's actually not a bad movie.
By the way, Jack. Oh, hang on. Moana.
Yeah.
Thank you, Louie.
Yeah,
that's what it is.
Yeah.
I mean, you act like you couldn't have easily corrected me there, Strieble.
No, I didn't know you were just
Mona,
say Mona.
Moana. I mean, come on. It's close enough. Tomato, kind of.
I really wasn't sure. I thought there might be a Mona out there somewhere, like on Apple TV. I don't have Apple TV.
Louie goes, I have a five-year-old daughter. Louie, we get it. You had sex a bunch about 6 years ago. We get it.
About 6 years.
You're throwing it in our faces.
Maybe congratulations.
Yes. Congratulations on your intercourse.
Yes.
And your minivan.
In the minivan.
I've seen the minivan.
Wow, Louis.
I was almost in Louis's minivan.
Really?
Almost. Yeah.
We met in
a parking lot. It looked like a meth deal.
Yeah.
It was a Walmart parking lot, so it looked like heroin.
You're handing the briefcase over.
Yeah.
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 You know, what's funny is, like, whenever I had the equipment at home and I had to bring it back, you know, to school or whatever, and I bring it to you.
Right.
Yeah. So I had it in my it wasn't today, but like a couple weeks ago, I had it in my classroom. So because I don't want to leave it in the van because you never know what happened. There's shady stuff. I don't know how the parts work if it gets too cold. So I bring it in with me. And he just set it in my classroom to the side behind my desk. And one of my students looked up and he's like, what's in that briefcase?
It's a good question.
It was a good question. He's like, it's not like a bomb briefcase, is it?
That's what it looks like.
And I said, exactly. I know it looks like that. It's like, but it's just radio equipment. It's like, it's very basic stuff. I was like, don't worry about it. But he was side-eyeing it. And he still didn't trust me.
The next time you have it in the classroom, you should connect during the day. And we should record a segment with you.
I have Ethernet in my room.
He gets scared on that kind of stuff. Yeah. Like, nope. Nope, not going to do it. Not going to do it. I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to do it. Not at all. Let's do a weird Wednesday.
Okay.
You ready?
Yeah, I'm ready. Here, I got a. I have
so
an article.
Strebel believes in the paranormal, aliens, ghosts, anything like that. We wander. We do this every Wednesday about right now. So you have two things you may want to talk about.
Yeah, let's see how long this first one takes. So this is a former CIA agent, okay, and on his deathbed. He died at 77. On his deathbed, he confessed to two big names in the UFO field, Richard Dolan and Jeremy Corbell. Jeremy Corbell was the individual that he had a hand in with Tom DeLonge with releasing the Flirjet UFO Tic Tac videos that we're all familiar with that leaked to the New York Times. Anyway, so he confessed to Richard Dolan and Jeremy Corbell on his deathbed that he had visited Area 51. And he had visited S4, which is the location that Bob Lazar, whom I've talked about before, worked at before he started leaking things to the press as well. And he said that when he visited Area 51, again, he's a former CIA agent. He worked with the CIA for about 5 years, that he saw the craft that was wrecked at Roswell. He saw videos of autopsies. He actually saw an alien being interviewed by someone in a bunker. And he actually had told this story back in 1998 to another UFO person, Linda Moulton Howe. And after he told that story, the CIA showed up and told him to shut up. They want him to stop talking about it, no more talking. They threatened him, and then he finally is like, I want to get the full story out there before I passed away. And there's been stuff like this, here in recent history. There was a Canadian politician that he got in front of the Canadian Parliament or whatever they have, Congress, whatever, and was talking about the UFO information and that we have contact with multiple alien races, not just one. So there's an intelligence, and there's people in Israel that have done the same thing, politicians, ex-Israel, like deep state, like CIA type people that have talked about, like, yeah, this stuff exists. They always do it either when they're on their way out the door or like when they're dying. So there's not really a lot to gain. So if I'm like, I'm dying, and I was like, Andy, I got to tell you something.
Right.
It's something I want to get off my chest before I die. It's like, what's the point in lying as I'm passing away? And so that leads credence to what this man's saying. He did work for the CIA, and it took him a little while to release the story because they fact check. They make sure that records and that he did indeed work for the CIA and the timelines matched up, and that's why it took him a few years to release the story. But the story was released, I think, yesterday.
Yesterday?
Yeah, it was I think it was an article from The Sun.
Of course it's from The Sun.
No, The Daily Mirror.
Okay, over that. Yeah.
So that, well, a lot of these,
it's always them. I mean,
it's always The Sun or The Mirror or The New York Post. Well, The New York Times released stuff.
Okay,
here recently.
So what was the story then?
What?
What was the story that he saw? What?
I told you, he saw the wreckage from
that's it.
From like Roswell. He saw them in person. Like he saw them and interacted with them. And then when he left, it was like a CIA debrief.
Okay,
they were like, we need to show you something. This is what's going on. Now the other side of that is it's a test, like a psyop, to see if you'll talk. Like it's all set up. The government takes you in there. It's like, look at all this stuff.
Right.
That's another theory with Balazar. They're like, oh, look at this. What do you think about that? What do you think about that? And they see if they run their mouth or not, if they can be trustworthy. And this guy didn't talk about it until like 40 years after he was with the CIA. So that's the other side of it, is it? But it's like, that would be a lot of time, energy, and money, right, Andy, to build bunkers and to have. You know,
I don't know why we just don't talk about it. I don't understand the issue.
I guess because it would. Here's the main point why we don't talk about it is because they think that people will freak out and it'll be apocalyptic, and that people will lose their minds. They lose, you know, whatever religion they believe in, whatever, I don't know, evolution or whatever they believe in as a person comes crashing down. They're going to act irrationally. But I feel like humanity is just so jaded right now and just so weary of everything going on in the world that I don't even think they'd react that way anymore. I honestly don't.
Oh, no. I'm totally with you.
I think people would be like, okay, whatever.
Yes.
That's my view on it. So
we talk about it for one day on sports radio.
Exactly.
Jack wouldn't care. Jack wouldn't care. Diener wouldn't care.
No.
I feel like Rummage wouldn't care.
Even if it was true. Even if it was like 100%
true. Care. Me and you would care.
I would care big time.
All right, so what are these robots then?
Oh, gosh. Human? Okay, so this is nuts. All right, so and of all places that this happened, Andy, San Francisco. And they're talking about doing this in Washington, D.C.
Okay.
Okay. And you'll understand why I'm saying this, those two cities in particular.
Okay.
So the San Francisco Police Department has these robots that the San Francisco City Council voted 8-3 to allow them to use. And guess what they're used for? Killing people. they're like the police control them to like detonate. And they have like detonation devices on them and they blow up.
Oh, man. Yeah.
And it's like, they're like, it's only for extreme situations, yeah. And it's only for if police and regular people's lives are in danger. And I'm like, bro, it's like it's an effing robot, man.
Save that.
And weren't you all the people that were like, we don't need the police, we take money? Now you're voting for police to have killer robots?
Yeah, San Francisco.
In San Francisco and Washington, D.C.
Yeah, they'd be like, well, Portland is getting it.
Yeah,
like
the same Portland's
thing.
Next. Portland's next. Seattle's
Portland,
next.
Seattle,
yeah. Chicago's going to have these killer robots, these killer police. It's like RoboCop. Remember RoboCop, that movie?
Well, you're scared of robots in general.
Like, no, it's like now you got robots that can kill people.
Yeah.
And they're like, yeah, okay, go ahead. We want the killer robots.
Well, they have the robots that like, can throw a basketball the length of the court and perfectly
those
goes
are at
in.
MIT.
Yeah, but I'm saying that if it can do that, I mean, it can throw like big boulders and everything else.
Yeah, yeah. We
are creating our demise.
Yes, absolutely. Like, they don't have like guns on them, but they have explosive devices that can kill
That's
you.
That's scarier to me than aliens.
Me too. Like, aliens, I think, would be like, kind of cool with us unless
Jack,
they
which one's scarier to you? Aliens or the killer robots?
Killer robots.
Yeah, I think that's...
I'm with you.
Yeah, yeah. I think we all agree
Unless
on
the
this.
Aliens are demons. So they could be...
There's going to be bad aliens. What do you think? They're all going to be nice?
No, no, I mean like the aliens are like they're like fallen angels and they're not really coming from outer space.
They're coming
like
from hell.
From underground. Yeah, yeah. They're coming from underground. That's why they're like coming out of water and stuff.
Yeah, but that's
because they come from like deep underground.
Well, there's probably both.
There might be both. No, there may be both.
That's what I would think.
Yeah,
but,
yeah.
I mean, that's the risk that you take.
Yeah. No, that's the risk.
If you want the aliens, then you have to be open to the possibility that there's going to be, it's not going to be, you know, nice and cute and.
Right.
Hey, it's an alien, and they're at Mars. It's gonna it's not ET.
It's like the Xenomorph from the Alien movies.
It's no, peace.
Or it's hell.
Jack, peace. No peace.
No peace, Jack Grossman.
Mr. President, is this glass bulletproof?
No. Bam! Yeah.
You like that, Jack?
Independence Day, Jack.
I want Jack to play
Independence Day.
Have you ever seen Independence
Once,
Day?
Once, actually.
I'm shocked by that.
I don't want you
to see Independence Day.
So my U.S. history teacher in high school was an extra at Independence Day. So he showed us the movie.
Oh, and he was in it.
Yeah, and he paused the movie
the speech.
At the moment where he walks by the camera and you just see him as a blur.
That's great.
That's awesome.
Yes.
Hi, boys. I'm back.
That guy ended up being a nut job, man. Randy.
You're a little young.
That they are.
They look a little nervous.
I need all flight crews to report to their designated areas immediately.
Major.
This is like George Bush, Jack.
And W.
Like W.
Good morning. Good morning. In less than an hour, aircraft from here will join others from around the world. And you will be launching the largest aerial battle in the history of mankind. Mankind, that word should have new meaning for all of us today. We can't be consumed by our petty differences anymore. We will be united in our common interest. Perhaps it's fate that today is the 4th of July. And you will once again be fighting for our freedom. Not from tyranny, oppression, or persecution, but from annihilation. We're fighting for our right to live, to exist. And should we win the day, the 4th of July will no longer be known as an American holiday, but as the day when the world declared in one voice, we will not go quietly into the night.
I have chills.
We will not vanish without a fight. We're going to live on. We're going to survive. Today, we celebrate our Independence Day.
Five o'clock hour coming up next.